Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2025 Josh Allen shouldn't exist. You should not be that gifted, that fast, that talented, jump over linebackers, yet he never throws interceptions. Usually 6'6 guys with that engine and that ability, I mean, they are letting it rip. Josh, you get all the upside and you get none of the downside. I mean, listen to this. His last 12 games, including the playoffs, 30 total touchdowns, one pick. That makes no sense. His ability to control, you know, have the discipline to not just, I'm going to let it rip and throw it through that coverage is unbelievable.
Colin Cowherd on Josh Allen. No turnovers. He just does not turn the ball over.
And really, it's 30 touchdowns and one interception in 11 games. 12 games counts the one snap he took against the Patriots, by the way.
All right. The one interception was also against the Patriots on a 3rd and 16. Throw to the end zone?
Yeah, I had a tweet go viral over the weekend because I used the term arm punt, I guess. And everyone in the football world started, not everyone, people on Twitter started debating the term arm punt.
What's the, haven't we been talking about it for years?
We have. I guess everybody else hasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ravens fans are really the ones. Ravens and they're, Chiefs fans.
They're mad about
we're
it?
We're both very offended by the idea of an arm punt.
I see what happened. You got into the Lamar, Mahomes, or Allen Twitter verse where it's just constantly conversations about that.
Yeah. I just turned that off because that is just like, I'm not here to do this.
My favorite non-controversy that happened this weekend is the Zapruder film breakdown of whether or not Josh Allen successfully kneeled out the final play of the first half.
I did hear or see a little bit about
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What? And
so what had happened there? He fumbled it.
He fumbled and kneeled on the ball and then picked it up with the knee down and then threw it to the official. And I guess Dolphins fans are a little mad about that. There's two things that happened. By the way, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. You know how sometimes, I'm going to actually take this another direction, but right back to it. You know how sometimes we look back on the drought and we fondly think, man, can you believe what our lives were like back then? Where a team gets a win, the Bills get a win over the Packers, and it's like, oh, this is the sign. Mm-hmm. It's all coming back. The Dolphins, the Jets had this, the moral victory against the Steelers where they score 30 points. Like, oh, hey, maybe Justin Fields is a real thing, and he's not. This happened in the Dolphins game twice. The Dolphins and their media and fans latching on to two different things. One, this end of half non-kneel down where the Bills broke the rules. Something should have happened. There's that one. And then I saw Dolphins fan, I think Palm Beach Post, Joe Shad. Mm-hmm. Allen pointed to a player and signal like, get him out of here, the flag's on him. And there was a controversy, again, the Dolphins fan making this up, that Allen had used a violent gun gesture. So should he have been flagged or ejected? And I thought, do you remember all the sad things we used to do when they would lose a game to the Patriots, and we would just say, like, well, they're getting the calls.
Mm-hmm.
The other teams are cheating. The officials are working against us. Like the game in Denver where the two officials once fist-bumped each other after a spot, and Bills fans thought it was proof that the officials are when you're just so down in the dumps that your weekend after a Thursday loss involves looking at whether or not Josh Allen kneeled out a ball effectively at the end of the first half. A ball you did not recover. Just what would have happened, Miami? What are you hoping happens there? The official pretend, I can't catch that ball, and then the Dolphins can recover it.
And run it back for a touchdown.
Just the biggest loser's energy on earth.
Yeah.
And we used to live there. We don't live there anymore.
His knee is also down when he has the ball.
Right.
Like when he scoops it back up, his knee is still down. It's actually not. It's not even close to as bad as the Bills Texans playoff game,
right,
where at the beginning of the half, the kick returner who had not kneeled or anything just handed the ball to the ref. This is his knees on the ground. So, and also from that experience, don't we know that giving yourself up is like a term in the league?
Yes.
It would have been labeled giving yourself up.
So to Cowherd's point here, and you know that Allen doesn't throw interceptions anymore, and 30 touchdowns and one interception in his last 30 games, or whatever the number was. 11 games. I'm sure the numbers are amazing over even 2 years. Like he doesn't make that many mistakes anymore. I was thinking about it from a framework of Tua's interception against the Bills on Thursday night. Benjamin Solak did a big, huge breakdown of this play. Maybe you saw this breakdown, maybe not. Basically, what he got to was Tua throws this pick a lot. Like, this is a mistake that Tua makes all the time, where he's predetermined where he's going to throw it. Their offense is so based on timing. It's so based on him trusting the offense and throwing it to where a receiver is not yet, knowing Waddle's going to get to that spot. And Ben's big takeaway on this play that not everybody agreed with. I mean, there's a little bit of a dispute about this Tua turnover. But his big takeaway was when you build an offense that's entirely built on Tua looking, reading, and throwing before he has all the information, you're going to lead to sometimes you got the information wrong and Terrell Bernard is in there to jump that and take it away. And it happened against the Ravens once, and it happened earlier. He had four or five different spots in Tua's career where he throws the interception to the linebacker who guessed right or read it right. And here's Bernard talking about how the linebacker's coach had coached them up on this. Like, if you get this look, go for it. Because they do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to think about something, Bills fans. When's the last time Josh Allen threw an interception like that? Because if I tell you to picture a Josh Allen interception, aren't almost all of them 20 to 30 yards down the field?
He's heaving it down the field in some desperation.
Sure.
Some play broke down.
Maybe it's double coverage. Maybe it's I like my chances on this play. But Josh Allen interceptions, the number of times it happens where it's like the 2-1 where he drops back and throws and it's like, oh, he just didn't see the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen. And it's no coincidence, Joe. What's the active streak? Knocking on wood. Somebody said it when I knocked on this last time. It doesn't count as wood. Let me find some real wood.
This isn't wood?
I don't know.
Wood colored.
It's laminate. Whatever. What's the current streak at Josh Allen passes without a pick six?
I'll look it up, but I think he was approaching the NFL record.
Okay. Why is that? Why does Allen not throw those interceptions? And the answer is because he doesn't have to do the game the way Tua does. He can make stuff happen off script. If he doesn't like something, first off, he'll take the checkdowns. He'll be smart about it. It's the point Cowherd's making there about how he'll eat the ball. He just doesn't take the big risks anymore. But even in that point, Allen's interceptions are not created equal. When he used to make the mistakes, I want to make this point a lot. Wow, Josh Allen stopped throwing interceptions. What used to happen when he did throw interceptions? Oh, the Bills would win 13 games and they'd win the division.
Yeah.
The results actually are not that different. The process by which they get there is different, and it might be cleaner, but the result so far has been the same. So Allen doesn't throw the two interceptions. And at the end of the year, what happens? You're going to look at a Google list of interceptions thrown by quarterbacks, and Tyrod Taylor finishes a season with 6, and Josh Allen finishes a season with 7. Who's better with the football? If you try to make the case it's Tyrod, I think you're nuts. Like, they're not all the same. They're not all created equal. Tua's going to throw a bunch of picks. It's good because people he gets fooled. Cam Ward throws a pick six against the Colts. Why? He's waiting. He looks back.
That was a bad one.
I mean, rookie throws. You see these mistakes. Drake May's now throwing a lot of interceptions, and you know he might have to get this out of his game. What's he doing? He's trying things he shouldn't. And for Allen, he doesn't get fooled. He's got the arm strength to get it in there with arm arrogance. And the way he's playing now, he's just like, all right, I'm not going to make the double bogey on this hole. I'm going to be smart.
All right.
And even when he was making mistakes, he's talented enough to make up for it in the game. And the throws are the kind where the EPA lost on his interceptions. We've even seen guys go deep into that. They don't count the same.
Right. There was the year he had more than Tua by a lot, but Tua had a higher EPA lost on picks.
Because they're around the line of scrimmage.
And Allen's are all 30 yards down the field.
They're all arm punts. Yeah. Like, right. I guess that's why we got in this conversation was the arm punt.
Right.
That we've seen it for a long time.
There was I only had one interaction in that thread. Like a million people are like, arm punt. And I had one interaction with one person that I just wanted to point this out like somewhere. That I went back and looked at that the drive he had on his last interception. So he had a pick against New England. It was 3rd and 16 here, and they're at like midfield. And he chucks the ball. Nothing is happening on this play. He heaves it to the end zone. Coleman's down there, but he's not close. And the guy makes a mistake. It should have been out at the 20. He pulls it out, and he gets stopped at the 1. So that might influence this too. But on that drive, there was the first down play, a second down play, a penalty, and then the third down interception. And on those four events on that final drive, the last time Allen threw a pick, the interception had the lowest EPA lost of any of the plays. Hmm. The 5-yard penalty
was more damaging.
Was more damaging than the interception was, because what's coming next? Well, it's going to punt it. Right? Like, this is the same thing. So those Tua picks, I saw two, like a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Breakdown, like there's some throws he won't see because of his height. And that's one where, like, maybe Allen, if he was throwing a timing route like that, that he would be more likely to catch himself in the act because he sees the linebacker breaking for the ball, just because he's got, what is he, 4 inches on Tua that he can see over the line just a little bit better, maybe a lot better, and he's able to catch that before he throws the pass. And Tua might not see him. And that might be why they build the whole offense the way they do in Miami. It's another reason why. Just Allen's there mentally. The size is there. Just, yeah, you don't see mistakes like that at all. And it's a critical, I mean, it's a fatal flaw of the Miami offense, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's always made mistakes.
Yep.
He fumbles too a lot.
Yes, he does. Protecting the football. Here's the other part of that, though. So this might be where, I don't know. I don't know if you guys out there are, like I said, I keep mentioning the group chats. Give us a call, 803-0550. Do you have an argument in your group chat with friends about whether or not this offense is good enough? Because it scores points. And multiple times this weekend, I'd just be hanging out and like, oh, yeah, how about the Bills? I don't tell you, I don't like Joe Brady's offense right now. You've got fans that are frustrated by the dink and dunk and by the average depth of target. I ran into that a couple times. I was kind of surprised how frequently I heard it over the weekend. But I guess the question I would ask is, or the way I would phrase it is, this is a regular season process. And this regular season process is going to consistently win them 13 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have Josh Allen and you never turn the ball over, if I just told you
they're going to win.
For the next 5 years, you're going to get that. What will you get out of your regular seasons? AFC East titles and 13 wins every year. Your defense could be good. Your defense could be mid. Your defense could be great. You're going to win 13 to 15 games. Because not turning the ball over can be a pretty consistent formula. There's one spot, though, that this might be the genesis for all of it. There's one spot where that doesn't really work, and that is the playoffs. They have lost two straight playoff games to the Chiefs in which they do not turn the ball over. They win the turnover battle. Like, a lot of their story is they win the turnover battle and they win all the time. They've won the turnover battle against the Chiefs the last two times and lost in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, Joe, it's a separation of the regular season is about processing, and the Bills have great process, and the postseason is about results. Like, you can take your perfect process, bring it to the playoffs, and if loss, all right, that's it. The book is written on how you're built in one game against the Chiefs. All right, guess that's over. What do you do next year? Try to not have any turnovers, win 13 to 15 games, do it again. And I feel like that's where maybe some of the disconnect is, because people want to be convinced they're going to beat the Chiefs, and there's almost really no way they can do it other than scoring 50 or having a defense that can hold another team to 10, and both of those things are, you know, lofty goals.
What I don't like about how their current formula presents itself against the Chiefs is I feel like they're a better team than the Chiefs right now. Like, I think if they just went toe-to-toe and through to who was open and played offense, maybe you do it a little bit differently. Maybe you press a little bit down the field, just a little bit more than you do in the regular season. Like, I like their team right now better than I do the Chiefs team. But they play a style that is designed to keep that game close. And what I don't like about that against Kansas City, I would want to play Kansas City to blow them out. That's how I'd want to play them, because I don't trust them at the end of games. If you're playing to keep it close, then I'm giving the Chiefs coaching staff that one or two plays that they haven't run all season and they're just waiting to break it out and you're not ready for it and it costs you your season. And by playing their style, I think you invite Kansas City into those situations as opposed to playing them to be up 14 at the end of the game instead of playing them to be up 3. Baltimore, you want to play that way, I think there's a better argument.
I wonder about Baltimore, because
Baltimore, I can get down with that style against Baltimore, because I don't think they could go toe to toe with Baltimore just playing a firefight.
No,
but Kansas City, I would expect the Bills to win that game, and I don't know that they would play it.
One thought I've had a lot about that opener against the Ravens is, if they are to play again, which could be the AFC Championship game, and you're Baltimore coming into that game, or you're Buffalo coming into that game, like however you want to do this, you'd say, all right, the last time we played, how much of it do you value? If you're the Bills, do you think we can't be conservative because they can score? If you're Baltimore, do you think, listen, 16 isn't safe? We're walking in the door to score 50, right? Because we know on the other side that freak show quarterback can lead them back from anything. So if Baltimore had to do it again, would they, you know, play so conservatively on the final possession they had, where they throw it over the middle and just punt it back to the Bills?
Right.
Would they go for the fourth down next time? 4th and 3, instead of punting to Josh Allen. Like, it's part of the fascinating thing about the regular season and the postseason is, how would you do it differently? What have you learned? What would you do differently? Dennis in Lockport is up. Hey, Dennis, good morning.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Hey, I actually agree with the dink and dunk offense they're playing, only for a couple reasons, and then I'll give it back to you guys. A couple things, Patriots use it. How many Super Bowls they got? Kansas City does use it when you watch them at times. They will do it, and they win off it. And actually, if you think about it, since Josh is a golfer, the shortest way to the pin is right through the middle. You don't have to hit it the longest. You just got to keep it in the fairway at all times. And I look at that as it could wear time off the clock and wear down a defense by just making your way down the field, giving your defense time to rest up, and also getting some of the people for some other looks. On that, I'll give it right back to you guys.
Thanks, Dennis. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, the idea is they were a dink and dunk team. They had Tom Brady, and they threw the ball to Julian Edelman 100,000 times.
Yeah, there
on short plays.
Were times where they were an offense like that. Not all of them. 07, they don't win 07. But 07, they're chucking the ball down the field to Randy Moss. But they did, right? Like Edelman and Welker and like Gronk was their vertical threat for a while.
I guess I just wonder how relevant any of those conversations or comparisons really are. The Chiefs have won enough Super Bowls where they've done it both ways.
Right.
Like they've won three and they've been to five.
Yeah.
And the earlier version of the Chiefs did it the other way, where they're always looking down the field. And this version of the Chiefs right now that stinks, by the way, they stink.
Their offense is bad.
In part because Rice and Worthy are out, so their number one receiver is Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster.
He finally made a couple plays for them.
He did. What are the Chiefs? The Chiefs want to be vertical again. And Mahomes is constantly looking down the field. And you see the last play of the first half, right before the end of the first half?
The one where he chucks it down the field?
Yeah.
Pass interference?
Yeah. Escapes and throws it 50 yards.
Yep.
Like, the Chiefs want that part of their game back. So, I think it's always ebbs and flows. And if we're talking about how, the Patriots won a lot of Super Bowls,
yeah,
we're talking about a 20-season stretch where other teams also did win it, and they had the best quarterback of all time and the best defensive coach of all time, arguably. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if they're able to do it if they get their receivers back, because I've been asking for like a year now. Like, all these defenses are packing the backfield. They're going four cover four, two high safety shell. Like, every defense in the league is daring you to take what's given to you. Methodically move the ball down the field and not make mistakes. And I've been wondering, is there a coach or a team out there that is searching for a way to be that vertical offense again? And like, we'll see if I feel like Kansas City is trying to figure it out. Kansas City is trying to be that first team back to, we're going to throw it over top of you no matter what you're doing. And I don't feel like the Bills are attempting to do it.
No,
the Bills are perfectly content just sitting here, taking 5-6 yards at a time, and having Allen not throw the ball more than 15 yards in a game. While Kansas City, I feel like they are searching to be that first through the gates again.
Yeah. Well, first through the gates, if you're asking me, is the Chargers. Chargers are that now.
Right.
They've not had success with it before, but yeah, they've got it now. The problem with looking up average depth of target for right now in the league is that I get like wide receivers and how far they've thrown the ball. So I'm looking for team.
Oh, like on one attempt.
Yeah, right. Team depth. Did you see the highest rated quarterback ever retired? And it was Mohamed Sanu, wide receiver Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, really?
Because in his career,
his
passing career, he was 7 of 8. I should pull up his numbers.
He had like 7 touchdowns.
He was amazing.
He had some good throws too. Because I think he was a high school quarterback, I think.
It makes sense.
He retired. He's been out of the league for 5 years.
Mohamed Sanu finished his career 7 of 8 for 233 and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
outside of
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good for a receiver. Anyway, yes, he is retired, and he, sure, his last season was 2021, but apparently he has officially called it quits. I don't know why. His last year was.
Has he been like on practice squads?
No, yeah, 2021.
Maybe he's been on practice squads.
Maybe. 803-0550. This guy did everything. He also had 14 tackles on interceptions.
It's probably bad because those are interceptions.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Talk about this Bills team. They are 3-0. Chargers 3-0. Colts 3-0. Chiefs got a win last night. Anything you want to chat about? The division? I mean, the division is in shambles outside of the Bills. Patriots 1-2 after a loss to the Steelers in a game that they outgained them and just got crushed by turnovers. And we got to tell you Drake May's new nickname in New England. It's not exactly the best nickname. I'll tell you what that is next.
Allen going to roll left, looking for someone in the end zone, and now Shovel passes it, complete to Jackson Hawes for his first career touchdown from 5 yards out. Josh Allen looking like Magic Johnson on the fast break.
May will fire it. It's picked off. Intercepted by Echols.
Drake May, an interception. He had a couple turnovers in the Patriots loss to the Steelers. And the Steelers are 2-1. The Patriots are 1-2. Yards in this game, and the Patriots were, well, the more successful offense, but just had their share of turnovers. May, 268 passing, had an interception. And Rodgers passed for 16-23 for 139 and won the game. So, you had Hunter Henry with 90 yards. May was the, here are the Josh Allen comparisons, right? May was the Patriots' leading rusher and passer in this game. And they lost 21-14. So anyway, Drake May's new nickname there in New England is Drake Maybe. As they walk the line of, is this guy the guy? Is this guy
Drake
good enough? Drake Maybe.
Not the most creative nickname I've ever heard in my life, but it fits, right?
Yeah.
I would be...
The Patriots turned the ball over 5 times in this game.
Yeah, there were a lot of fumbles from the running backs.
Yep.
Stevenson had 2. They put Gibson in. He fumbled. Finally, they put the rookie in, Henderson, who probably should have been playing the whole time. So, yeah, a lot of turnovers. The one that came right after May hit his head on the ground.
Yep.
Otherwise, like, he's not looked spectacular through 3 games, right? Like, it's looked okay.
Definitely not spectacular.
There's still signs that there's a good quarterback in there.
Yeah, I think he's...
But I don't know how much help he has. The line, it's still struggling a lot. Diggs doesn't do anything down the field. Like, he's just a slot guy.
Yeah, he plays in the slot, and they've got...
And he had the injury, too.
They're outside guys, Boutte and Demario Douglas, like...
Like, all right.
Mac Hollins' appearance yesterday. I watched them a little bit.
Yep. But 1-2 through a not that hard part of your schedule.
No, you would have thought they would be 2-1. I mean,
They've not done anything that makes you think, like, oh, they could be a little challenge to the Bills this year the division. They were the team for that, and they've not done anything through 3 games that makes me think they'll be within even 4 games.
Right.
We get to December.
Their next 3 games, I mean, they play the Bills next week. Not this week, but the following week. But other than that, it's Panthers, Saints, Titans. So they could get back on track. We'll see. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Streaming on YouTube. You can check us out as well. All right. Injury conversation. I'm sure it's just it's just a random note. You remember, I don't know if this was the first time you saw it. 2 years ago when the Bills open against the Jets and Rodgers' Achilles goes and it pops.
Yep.
Unscientific poll. How many times had you seen that before? And how many times have you seen it since?
Not many times before, and I feel like I'm seeing it a lot now.
Yeah.
Najee Harris.
And the Syracuse quarterback on Saturday against Clemson, Steve Angeli.
Yeah.
100% popped. Like, the visual of pulsing, whatever. You can see it happen.
Yeah.
100% what happened to the Syracuse quarterback. Oh, let's hope it's not too serious. Hope it's not too serious. I mean, it's as clear as if his leg fell off. That's what happened. He's done.
Right. I remember, I think that happened with Kobe. When Kobe tore his Achilles, I think it was that pop. But I don't remember it ever happening between that and the Rodgers thing. Or at least, like, watching it and knowing it.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm sure it obviously happened a million times.
Because Eckler was clear as day. Like, again.
Eckler, everyone knew it.
He plants right his away. Foot and it's over. His season's over.
And these guys, I was wondering about that with Burns yesterday.
Najee Harris. Yeah.
I was wondering that with Brian Burns yesterday. He comes down on his leg after jumping and swatting a ball, and he immediately goes down, and he's like, he's kind of looking down at that area, and I'm waiting for a replay. They show the replay, though, and like that's the first thing I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Is I'm looking down at his ankle area to see, like, did you see a pop there or anything? Because now I think a lot of fans know what they're looking for with those injuries. He was fine. He came back in a couple plays later.
Burns, yeah.
Was a heck of a player, by the way.
Yes, he is. They had the stat on him last night. He has played... How many games did he play in the NFL?
I think that was his 100th game.
Okay, yes. He's played in 100 games, Brian Burns, defensive end for the Giants, who was with Carolina, and made a couple nice plays. And on the broadcasts, it's last night, Collinsworth and Tirico, right? So
They're
talking about Burns, like, heck of a player. You don't notice him because he's not been on good teams. And they dropped the stat that in 100 games, he's been on the winning side 27 times.
Yeah, right. 27 and 73. Yep. Brutal.
I guess he just doesn't know how to win.
He's the defensive Joe Thomas, maybe.
Yeah. A great...
He might have won less. Joe Thomas?
Maybe.
He had a zero-win season he might have won less.
803-0550. Bills and Saints this week. A lot of Highmark memories this week. The storyline will be...
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
That's the storyline.
And the prices. Like, these tickets are expensive. I wonder if anybody during the week will ask a Saints head coach, like, you guys know you're the hottest ticket in town? Bills fans really want to get to this game to see you guys?
Yeah.
Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Then they could use that as their bulletin board material.
They could.
Like, guys, Bills fans are expecting a blowout. Look at this. Prices are going up.
I feel like Bills fans expect a blowout no matter what. But, the cheapest ticket in that stadium at the site I'm looking at right now is
$310.
You can go to a playoff game for less than that. I bet you right now...
There'll be a playoff game.
The first playoff game you can go to will be cheaper than this.
Than this Saints game?
Yes. There will be a ticket available for less than $300 to that game.
Your opponent might matter for that. If they play Kansas City at home in the divisional round,
I'll tell you what I'm going to do for that game. Go for a hike. I'm not going to watch that. I can't. You text me when it's over. They made it.
Your tickets will be the ones that sell for less than...
That's right.
You're just going to put them up there for anything.
I can't bring myself to watch it. I can't even stomach the idea of them losing to the Chiefs, who stink.
I mean, that's what I mean, though. They're going to be going on the road in the playoffs.
Listen, I'm guilty.
I would bet right now heavily. I thought before the season they wouldn't win the division. And right now, they're going to make up a 3-game gap on the Chargers.
I mean, are they going to...
They're going to make the playoffs.
Am I going to finish that sentence?
They're going to make the playoffs.
Okay. They're going to be 1-3 because they're going to lose to the Ravens next week.
Give me 7 teams that'll make the playoffs ahead of them.
7 teams that make it ahead of the Chiefs.
Yeah, okay. Right now.
All right. My division winners. Bills, Chargers, Colts, and...
The North.
The North is the Ravens.
Yes. There you go. There's 4.
Okay. Who else is going to make the playoffs? The Broncos are going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I need 2 more?
2 more.
The Steelers are going to make the playoffs.
Sure. They don't look great either.
Listen, I can't tell you how excited I am for the Steelers to make the playoffs, go to L.A. and lose 37-10. It's going to be great.
Yep.
All right, but I got to find one more playoff team?
This is part of the conversation. I'm not telling you the Chiefs look great. I think there are so many bad teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
The Titans are bad. The Texans are bad. The Jags are bad. The Browns are bad. Bengals are bad. The Raiders are probably bad. The Dolphins, Jets, and Patriots, all bad.
Yeah.
Like, the conference stinks. Half of it.
It's top heavy.
It's really top heavy.
there might be three really good teams. It's the Bills, the Ravens, and is someone else really good? Are the Chargers that?
Right.
They might be.
And that would be the only other team you would, I mean, guess the Colts still. Like, that's the team you would consider, but I just can't. I can't bring my, they're not a tier one team. They're going to make the playoffs because somebody has to.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I mean, the Jags are 2-1, but they have not looked impressive at all. So I just, the Chiefs are probably getting in no matter what.
But they're not winning the AFC. Three games in. Are we going to be the people guilty of that? And then old takes exposed. They look terrible. They look terrible.
I would be with you. They'll get Worthy back at some point. They'll get Rice back at some point. I don't personally believe that'll make enough of a difference to jump the Chargers. And if they've got to go on the road and play three road playoff games, like I don't think they make it through that. Not with the way they play football right now. Last year, like such a key difference. Because like, you could just sit there and say, hey, last year they looked like this and they made it.
Yep.
And you would have been right. They got a lot of breaks along the way. But they did. They got to the playoffs and they made it. What'd they have to do? They had to win two home playoff games. One against a Houston team that probably didn't deserve to be there. And then they beat the Bills. Yep. So two home playoff games to get there. They'd have to go
three road. Yeah.
Including likely trips to probably one of the two, if not both, Baltimore and Buffalo. So I don't think they make it through that. That's the difference. If they had that slate last year in the playoffs, I don't think they make the Super Bowl.
803-0550. Bills fans probably become Lions fans tonight. I mean, it's definitely pretty easy. Root for the Lions.
Yep.
Knock the Ravens to 1-2.
Yep.
You know, full three games behind you in the race for the one seed.
They're still the team I'm most worried about. Even though they have one loss, Chargers don't, Ravens are the team. So give them a loss wherever you can get it.
Yeah.
And they play Kansas City next week. So
we've got the Sabres tonight. Sabres and Blue Jackets. Preseason begins in the NHL. It's underway. Preseason's underway. And for the Sabres and Blue Jackets to get started tonight, that game is on MSG. And that game is
on
also
MSG.
Here on our station, WGR Sports Radio 550, with the Monday night game. Is that going on WBEN?
I should have checked
this already.
Bet 1520.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I wonder how many starters, how many opening night lineup guys the Sabres will play tonight. I saw in their first couple practices, they were like evenly split. Like only the NHL guys in one group, only the AHL guys in the other group. So if they want to hold that together.
The full NHL team might play?
Then maybe they play.
Who's the starting?
They get tonight. Or what, would they save that for tomorrow? Would the AHL guys get tonight and the NHL guys would get tomorrow? I don't know what they'll do.
Because of where the game is?
Because
tomorrow they're in Buffalo?
Yeah. Like give the fans at home the starters and not the, you know, the third line Rochester guys.
Sure. You could do it that way. You could also decide to give the Rochester guys the nugget of playing in Buffalo, playing in that building.
Yep, that's right.
Who's the starting goalie, by the way, if they're playing the entire NHL team?
Alex Lyon
is
my answer.
All right. 803-0550, hockey season begins. The preseason begins, and it'll be a fast and furious preseason. They play tonight, they play tomorrow, they play Thursday and Saturday. So four Sabres games before the next Bills game. Bills and Saints, 16.5-point spread.
If it gets to 20.5, I believe that's the Bills' record for being favored in a game.
I mean, to move another 4 points.
They'd have to move four.
Which...
It could.
It really could.
We saw the Panthers line move 6 points last week, and by the way, that was a mistake.
Yes.
Because they won easily. Penix was terrible.
803-0550 if you're on hold. We'll get to your calls. We'll check in with Sal, see what he thought of the weekend that was, with the Bills sitting comfortably watching around the league. Jeremy and Joe, it is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, Victory Monday here on WGR. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Here's the snap. Pitch play to the left to Cook. Blockers in front. Has a hole, and he threw it. 40, 50, and just tackled from behind by the final defender at the Miami 41-yard line, or he would have been G-O-N-E gone.
within the game, it's a matter of, okay, we get together, we're on the headset, we talk about it as a staff, what do we like? And sometimes, you know, we just need to get back to what we do best and, you know, looking forward to getting that bad taste out of our mouth on third down. Certainly, you said it, you go from 0 for 11, whatever they ended up, which wasn't good, I know the percentage. But, you know, to get them into 16, third and fourth downs, that's excellent. But we got to get off the field.
Bobby Babich, looking back on that Dolphins win and how the Bills were able to improve on third down defense. They were great against the Jets, not so great against the Dolphins. At Locker Room Audio, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, even though they played on Thursday. Victory Monday and Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Get a call in here, but first, a stat of the day for you. This Pro Football Reference doesn't exactly have it the same way, but a fantasy writer, Jacob Gibbs.
Okay.
So, had a couple things, including one on Ashton Jeanty, because Ashton Jeanty, pretty much the consensus number one pick in fantasy drafts and dynasty fantasy drafts, is not putting up big numbers with the Raiders. It's really going poorly.
Yep.
Because their line's a mess. And there are a lot of different ways to look at this, how often he's met in the backfield. He had Jacob Gibbs of, where is he? CBS Fantasy Sports Writer. Yeah, CBS Sports. Of his 145 rushing yards this year,
yep.
140, I'm going to start again because it's even more impressive. He has 143 rushing yards this year. And 145 of those are after contact.
Wait.
Yeah.
He has
negative yards rushing before contact.
That's unbelievable.
According to Jacob Gibbs, CBS Sports fantasy writer.
Yeah, minus two would make sense for him, right?
That he just is in the backfield. He's met on every play.
I thought I saw he was met in the backfield on 11 of 17 carries yesterday.
Okay.
So
sometimes that could be like a minus five or a minus four.
Yeah. Bonus stat of the day. Do you know who the rookie rushing yardage leader is through 3 weeks?
Is it a running back?
It is a running back.
Is it Tootin?
Nope. He is 74. This player is 155. Jeanty's at 145 in second.
It's not Hampton.
Nope.
It's not R.J. Harvey.
Nope.
It's not Caleb Johnson, who got benched yesterday.
It's not Nope, it's not him.
Scatabo.
No, man, 102. That would have been a good guess, though.
He looked good yesterday.
He looks good. No, the answer is Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, who played one
who
game.
Who played a game and a half
so
far, and he leads with 155 yards.
Scatabo looked good.
Henderson, only 65, by the way. New England needs to give him the football.
Yes, they do.
Maybe after the Bills game.
803-0550. We'll get some calls in with Sal on the other side. Get right to him. Sal Capaccio joins us. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, Victory Monday. And we'll see what he had to say about Chargers, Colts, Jets. Everybody losing out there. Jets, but they stuck with the Bucs. Moral victory for the Jets, I guess. Three games in, you got two moral victory games.
Yeah.
Not so much with the Bills. Or against the Bills, you know. Victory Monday here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.